Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. We are smack dab in the middle of a round one of the Stanley Cup Finals. And I don't know, Blake. I've watched more yeah. Playoffs this year than I have in years.
Yeah, this is the first round's been entertaining. Pretty much every weather's shitty too. I watched every series other than Boston and Florida. I just have no interest in that. It's not really a series. Carolina, that series is pretty boring. But I mean, the other six. Pretty entertaining. Right? Most of the series are tied.
I'm into four of them. I like four of them. I love the LA, yeah. Edmonton, the Winnipeg, Vegas yeah. has been great. Toronto, yeah. Tampa Bay has been really good.
Yeah. And Dallas and
Minnesota.
Minnesota off the charts. I know. That was a good game last yesterday too. Hey, did you see that? Did the NHL get new schedulers for the playoffs?
I don't know why has it been...
Because every day has been spaced out. Games at different times. Games are on all day on the weekends. Why can't you do that during the regular season?
But we got to get rid of these afternoon games on the weekends.
I don't mind a Saturday afternoon game at 2 o'clock in Winnipeg. I don't mind that.
I'm sorry. I'm not watching.
Okay, but...
I got a life, man. I got stuff.
Yeah, I get whatever. But still, like, most people are off on the weekends, okay? You got... Games on four in a row. It's perfect. It's awesome.
I can live with it. But quite honestly, like if it's above 50 degrees on a Saturday afternoon with no wind, I'm not watching unless my team's playing.
Yeah, you are. You're watching.
No, I didn't last Saturday.
You didn't watch my Peggy.
I watched the second half of it.
When it became a game?
I was sitting on the couch. I fell asleep. My wife woke me up and told me, hey, you better watch this. It's getting good.
Which Saturday one?
Last Saturday afternoon. The one that went to double overtime.
That was a good one.
And it's not, and believe me, I am more engaged in these playoffs than I have been in years.
And yeah, no, I've enjoyed them.
And that's coming from somebody who watches a lot of hockey. The only thing that I will say this year is, I don't know if it's because I'm still coming off this sickness or what, but I can't do the triple overtimes and the double overtimes anymore. I did stay up last night and watch, but yeah. I got to work in the morning. Like, I end up going to bed, and then I wake up in the morning, and when I get to work, I turn the TV on, and as I'm doing my paperwork, I catch up on what happened at 2 o'clock in the morning. And believe me, this is coming from a guy that I lived for that. Like, I loved it. I would pray for him to go four overtimes because I loved it. And this year, I just... Yeah. I can't do it.
I got lucky. I work nights, right? So I got lucky when Hyman scored there right before I had to leave. I was pretty crazy game too.
I stayed awake last night.
I forgot you're an hour ahead too, so that's even worse.
Yeah, I mean it's late, and I'm not knocking it. I love. There's nothing better than a West Coast playoff game. Like I really really enjoy it. I do. I find myself watching the West more, not just because my favorite team's in the West, but because that's when my night settles down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That's when I can settle down and settle into a good, good game. But there, I don't know. We got a lot to talk about. There's some really, really good games going on. It's been off the charts and lots to talk about. Today on the show, we're going to recap what's happened so far in round one. We'll go around the NHL. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about draft lottery for living out in Calgary and, some attendance numbers that I saw this week that were a little interesting. Mm-hmm. We are, what would you say, midway point? I'd say midway. Most games are most more through four, right?
Toronto just tied the game, man. That's insane. They're down 4-1, dead in the water. 4-4, through 4 minutes left. Like, that's just incredible. I mean,
we're going to talk about that series coming up here in a minute.
That's insane. Like, that's like a, I don't know, the last two games.
This is coming from a guy that you said they were done.
I am the driver of the bus of the Leafs haters. I want them to lose. But I've seen some maturity in this core. I mean, they got thoroughly dominated, absolutely dominated in game three. Didn't deserve to win, and they find a way in overtime to win, right? They're down 4-1. 10 minutes left in the third, and they find a way to come back.
Like, let's fast forward.
That's some character.
Let's talk about this series first. Let's fast forward to this one, and this one has caught the entertainment value of a lot of people. This is a series that's had a little bit of everything. It started with the bunting elbow to Chernik in game one, 3-game suspension. Chernik's still out. I thought that was a dirty, dirty play.
Yeah, no, rightfully so. 3-game suspension. I had no problem with that.
Now, Tampa Bay, one thing everybody's forgetting is Tampa Bay has kind of had to navigate through some injuries. And Hedman just returned again tonight.
He returned game three.
Yeah. And he's an integral part. Chernik, who we just talked about, is still out. I don't know. You know the game that I thought was interesting? In game two, Tampa Bay is throttled by Toronto. And Vasilevskiy refused to come out. And I thought, you know, this guy's like frustrated and he's just going to battle through this. I mean, there's two ways you can look at that. But if I was coach, I probably would have said, I'm sorry, but I need to rest you right now. You know what I mean? But I can see where the battle went back and forth there.
Yeah, no. I mean, and then game three, like I said, Tampa dominated, like, Toronto had no business winning that game. Samsonov stole them the game. That's flat out what happened. They take a 2-1 series lead, and everybody and their dog knows what happens the last 5 years when the Leafs have a 2-1 lead in the series, right? They find a way to fuck it up. They can't get to 3-1, right? They got to 3-1 versus Montreal, and they blew that one too. So, and then today, I mean, they had a terrible first period, 2-0, and if you were to tell me at the start of third they were coming back this game, there's no chance. I mean, Matthews 2 in the 3rd. He had a goal yesterday. He's starting to take over the series, right? So him and Marner kind of been that 1-2 punch. Ryan O'Reilly's been a beast this whole series, right?
Ryan O'Reilly is running the show for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's been great, right? I mean, he scores a big goal with a minute left. Like, think about that. Tampa was a minute away from having a 2-1 lead, right, with home ice advantage, game four. O'Reilly ties it up. And then what more can you say about Morgan Riley? Like, I think this is some of the best stretches of hockey that I've seen him play in his career, right? I mean, him and Luke Shen have been a really solid pairing together for the Leafs in this series, and they're getting tough matchups with going up against Point and Stamkos in games 3 and 4. So, this is, if the Leafs somehow find a way to win this, that's a game this team wasn't winning the last 3-4 years in the playoffs, right? They would have find a way to lose those games, right? You had a guy like O'Reilly, Achari, Luke Shen, like all these guys that have been there, done that, win the cup, and help kind of push those young kids along. That's good. It's a good step for them.
What did you think of the Riley hit on Point?
I thought it was two guys going for the puck. Point kind of kicked the puck with his skate, kind of lost his edge, and it was just an unfortunate result, right? I don't think that was a vicious hit. I don't think it was dirty.
I didn't either.
I thought it was a clean hit, just an unfortunate result, right? And then, I mean, can we talk about Keith for a sec? Like, this guy, just like, they won the game, and this guy is still bitching about the officials. It's like, give it a rest,
seems
dude.
Seems like it's a Canadian way right now.
Example of manipulating the officials. How? How do they manipulate the officials?
Same thing in Edmonton.
I was happy that Matthews stuck up for himself. Like he's sitting there just getting fed jabs by Stamkos.
That was two stars. What's there to argue about there? That's two stars fighting. That's okay.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying like, yeah, at least he didn't just take the punches and just stand there. At least he kind of went after him a little bit there. So like that was nice to see, I guess.
If I was Stamkos, I'd have ripped that gay mustache off.
But
that's another.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's been
a really good series, but it's probably been, other than the Edmonton series, it's probably been the most entertaining one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, you know what? But you know what? You got to take that a little bit with a grain of salt because game one and game two really weren't that entertaining.
Yeah, two blowouts.
Two blowouts back and forth.
But it was like,
but there was stuff going on, though.
I guess there's been three overtimes in the Edmonton series. So, yeah.
I think, honestly, slug for slug, I mean, the Winnipeg series has probably been more entertaining, but there's been so many storylines in this Tampa Bay Toronto series.
Both series is we had the Toronto comeback today, Edmonton's comeback yesterday, so that's two big comebacks, right? And do you want to shift over the Edmonton series?
No, let's shift over to the Florida Boston. Let's stay in the East. We have a tradition going for 6 years where we do the East first, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Florida Boston, that one currently stands 3-1 Boston, and I don't know. I mean, is it sad to say, like, the most entertaining part of this was Bertuzzi stealing Cousins' stick and breaking into the bench? Is that the most entertaining thing in this series?
The most entertaining thing would probably be Ullmark dropping the gloves and trying to fight Tkachuk.
That was in game four, the antics there. Tkachuk has kind of lost his mind. We all knew that was going to happen. He goes after Ullmark. Ullmark goes after him. I did think it was interesting, the cross-check on Hathaway. I kind of thought that was a suspendable one. But yeah, I guess if you're going to suspend that one, you're going to have to suspend 100 of them in the playoffs because there's been 100 cross checks like that. But Tkachuk, it's a $5,000 fine.
Yeah, no, it's you know what the crazy thing is, man? They're without Bergeron. They're without Krejci. You got Taylor Hall playing center. You got Trent Frederick playing second line center. And they're still steamrolling Florida. Yeah. This is a joke. It's a joke. How deep this team is, like, their center depth is like non-existent. They got four wingers playing center pretty much. Like, you got Pavel Zacha as your first line center right now. And they're just chugging along, getting goaltending, Pastrnak, Marchand doing their thing, McAvoy playing like a stud. I mean, it's going to be crazy to see this team when they get fully healthy. It's even going to be more brutal.
It's not even fair.
They're so deep. Like, Florida's a good team, and they're steamrolling them without any of their top guys.
It's crazy because Florida and Sam Bennett and Tkachuk have been the best two players.
Yeah. No, no, no. Pastrnak's been the best player.
No. For Florida.
Oh, for Florida. Yeah. Yeah. And Bennett didn't even play the first game,
He was been out with an injury. So,
yeah.
I would say we'd probably both agree the biggest snooze fest of a series so far. And 3-1, that one stands. The Islanders, Carolina currently leads this one 3-1 as Carolina got to
close her out tomorrow.
Yeah, they have a chance to close it out. Game three was pretty entertaining when the Islanders rattled off 4 goals in 2 minutes and 17 seconds. That was probably the most entertaining part of the series. But, Carolina finds a way to smother. Outside of game three, the Islanders have struggled to get any offense really going and kind of been a lockdown series. And I've been impressed with Carolina being able to.
We talked about that, though, right?
Oh, yeah. We knew it was going to be this way.
The Islanders were going to have to win like 2-1, 3-2. They had that one game where they got to Ranta and they got four past them plus one in the empty net. But there's just not enough punch. Barzal doesn't look, he looks about 65% healthy. He doesn't have that explosive speed like we're used to seeing. Horvat has been a non-factor. He has one shorthanded goal and it came in there down 6-1. Yeah. He's been nothing for them. Like, he hasn't done anything. So, They're not getting enough goaltending, even though Sorokin's doing all he can. I mean, he can't play out of his mind every damn night.
He's not scoring goals.
He ain't gonna score goals for you. Like fuck. I don't know. Carolina's a team too that's missing some guys, and they're getting kind of scoring up and down the lineup.
Another series that I would say, I don't want to say it's been a boring series. It just definitely hasn't had the entertainment value in my mind. I don't know. It's kind of been a hard series to get into, but we kind of expected that just because of the Islanders and Carolina's style of play. So on to the Rangers Devils series. This one's knotted at 2 with a Devils 3-1
Devils
win
won today 3-1. I just saw that there, yeah.
Which is a little surprising in my, I don't know why I'm saying that's surprising, because the Devils have been a good hockey team all year, but I thought the Devils looked so miserable in game 1 and 2. They had 5-1 losses in game 1 and 2, and I thought they were done.
Well, they look like a team that had a lot of players playing first time in the playoffs. That's what it looked like, right? I mean, it's there's a lot of nerves for those young kids. It's a shell shock. It's completely different. You got a team. You got guys over there that have won multiple Stanley Cups, Kane and Panarin and et cetera. All those guys have been to Cups and they went on a run last year, right? So, I mean, this Vanecek wasn't good, right? He's been a rock for them all year long. And then they put the Sakura Schmidt in the last two games on the road. On the road, first two career playoff starts, stops 35-36 in game 3 and 22-23.
Does that surprise you, though?
He's got a .966 save percentage in game 3 and 4. On the road, in the Garden, one of the loudest rinks in the league.
No, it's not the loss right really. But
in the playoffs, you've been a playoff game there. It sucks. Sounds pretty loud on TV.
They probably pump
that
sound.
That place is rocking.
They probably pump sound in New York. But I will say this. Sometimes when a goalie goes in like this, there's absolutely no pressure on him. And at this point, there's no pressure on the team anymore, right? You're down 2-0. Okay, let's think about this whole play. You're down 2-0. You've been outscored 10-2. Where's the hope level?
You're playing with house money.
Yes. So it's easier to, and it doesn't surprise me, not that it's a common occurrence in the playoffs, but this guy's been on the top of his game, and the Devils have looked like a new team in the last two games.
Yeah, no, he's kind of injected some, what's it called?
Energy?
Fuel to the fire. Energy, yes. Spark. He's kind of sparked them a little bit.
So can they hold off the Rangers? I mean, the Rangers, you go up and down the roster.
They just took back home ice advantage.
I know they did.
So it's a best of three, and you got home ice. So you win game 5.
Do you want home ice?
Get 2 cracks. they're 0-2. I don't know.
Oh, rolling man. On over into the Western Conference. And let's talk Winnipeg-Vegas, a series that I think has been off the charts. Game 4 just starting right now. It looks like Winnipeg was up 1-0 last time I looked. 1-1 now in Game 4. That series currently stands Vegas 2-1. And I don't know. I mean, this series has had it all. It's had it all. And in Game 1, Morgan Barron gets cut for 75 stitches, comes back and plays.
Do you believe that? I don't know. It didn't look like, unless it was like the tiniest stitches of all time. I don't know. It didn't look like 75.
Well, I don't know.
That was a crazy injury, though.
The cut went from here to here. I'll call that a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
He returns.
He's lucky he didn't lose his damn eye.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I verified this with a good buddy of mine that's a big NBA guy. He told me that happens in the NBA. That guy's not coming back the whole playoffs.
Well, that would never happen, because how would he get caught like that?
Well, I'm just saying. He goes, there's no way an NBA player would return to the game. No way. No way.
It probably would never happen, so no shit.
Well, I'm just saying, like, hockey players are a different breed. They're a different breed. But you know what really kind of set me off in this series? When I heard in the off-ice shenanigans that Vegas was pulling on Winnipeg.
Like what?
Well, they stole the pedals off their exercise bikes.
Gosh.
That's Bush League. That's shit you do in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. That is. That's not NHL stuff. And you know what I heard? I heard other GMs, not Winnipeg, other GMs have had enough with Vegas's antics. It doesn't represent the league.
We've talked about how they treated their players.
I think this organization is a bad bad look for the league. I don't know. I thought Winnipeg played a really good game in game one, and kind of in game two let things kind of get away. They started off all right, and then just things kind of unraveled out of. But series goes 1-1, and then Vegas comes and wins double overtime in game three, a game that Winnipeg's down 4-1 in the third period, and I fall asleep, and my wife wakes me up and says, "Hey, yeah. Like you got to watch this." That was when it was 4-2. I don't know. I've learned a few things in this series. I've learned that Adam Lowry is probably one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yeah. Probably should be their captain.
Probably should. He has literally put this team on their back. He's been really, really good.
Him and, or Morrissey. And Morrissey's injury just is devastating, right? It is a huge loss. And
is there anybody...
It was really just a nothing play. Like, they just collided. Him and White Cloud's knees just collided, and he's done for the series. Shifley just left the game today. They got no Ehlers. They got no Perfetti. Like, this team is just decimated with injuries right now.
Is there a guy you'd want to... Or is there a guy that would be worse to lose than Morrissey on the Jets, besides probably Connor Hellebuck? Right? I mean,
that's probably the last guy you'd want to lose.
Yeah.
Right, and he's done for the series, so that's not great. I mean, he's a tough guy, too, so, like, you don't really see him sit out, like, that much, so it's tough.
What do you think of... what's your irritation level watching Vegas play $10 million over the cap?
Well, about the same irritation I was when Tampa Bay did the last 2 years. I mean, it's a loophole that needs to be corrected in the next CBA. Like I said, you should have to be cap compliant before the playoffs, and if you're not, too fucking bad.
Well, you don't get to play.
You don't get to play.
You forfeit like you do in the regular season.
Teams, I should say, Vegas and Tampa have been taking credit for them. Like, it's in the CBA, you can do it. It's not against the rules.
It's totally just against the integrity of the game. Not against the rules, against the integrity of the game. But
right. So, I mean, the salary cap's 81.5, I think, and they're at like 95. Yeah. So,
I just find it interesting. It's pretty annoying that Stone's just magically healthy when the playoffs start.
I will say, it's been cool to see kind of Jack Eichel burst on the scene here, the first time in the playoffs, right?
Is it cool though?
Yeah, I mean, you like to see guys produce in their first time in the playoffs, right? He's been waiting for this moment for, 10 years?
Why doesn't he produce?
Maybe not 10 years, 8 years.
But don't good players elevate their team and get their team into the playoffs?
Yeah, but I mean...
You're
in Buffalo, man. They weren't doing much to put a team around him. They didn't have goaltending to carry him to a playoff spot. They did a piss poor job of drafting and supplementing Eichel with players. They overpaid for Skinner $9 million. Like they just made a lot of moves that weren't really smart in the Eichel era there. And now they're kind of sort of correcting it, right? They got Thompson coming up and they got a couple other young stars coming up. They got a good couple goalies coming up in the system now. So to see him kind of produce and find his way here in the playoffs, and he's got 4 goals in the series. It's been good. He had 2 goals and an assist in game three. He's been really good.
Seattle, Colorado. What's your thoughts on this series? As right now, Colorado holds course at 2-1. Seattle wins game one, 3-1. Colorado 3-2 in game two, and then 6-4 in game three. We'll see them play again later tonight. Here, actually, the puck tonight has dropped on that already.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on this series so far?
I thought Seattle surprised a lot of people in game one.
They surprised me more in game two. Does that make sense?
I thought, I thought it was a huge missed opportunity in game two.
Yeah.
Right. You jump out to a 2-0 lead and you kind of squander late and they Tay scores with 5 minutes left and that's the game, right? So that game was 10 minutes away from being a 2-0 series lead. Both on the road were in a tough building to play in, right? I mean, I don't think Colorado's lost back-to-back games in the playoffs at home in the last 3 years, I think. They've been an almost impossible team to beat on home ice at Ball Arena. And last night, I think the Seattle played fine. They just didn't get enough saves from Grubauer. I wouldn't be surprised if they went to Martin Jones for game four. Because...
Well, I don't know. Who's playing tonight?
Oh yeah. I guess it started, didn't it? Hey,
yeah.
I'll look right now.
I don't know. I mean, my thoughts on this series are, you know, I think, you know, when they won game one, I thought, okay. But then when they won game two, I thought, or when they gave Colorado a strong run in game two and had a 2-0 lead, I thought, okay, well, maybe this team is a little bit, you know, more for real. 1-0
Kraken too.
I do think that Colorado will handle this series fine, and McKinnon is one of those
Grubauer is starting to.
McKinnon is one of those players that when he wants to, he can, like, his game.
He took over last game. He took it over.
It's just unreal. The guy.
It is insane how he can pick up a puck at the top of the circle, take two strides, and literally it looks like he just flicks his hands and it's bar down.
Yep, and it is a rocket.
Wow, it's a laser. It's a laser beam, bar down. How do you get that much accuracy on? Like, it's incredible.
Yeah.
He shoots it off his front foot, too. It's insane.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, you should be shooting off your front foot, Blake.
Sorry, his back foot. He shoots it off his back, like his front foot. It's insane.
Yeah. The Los Angeles Edmonton series, another series. Well, I actually think this is probably the most exciting series, as it's knotted up at 2-2. We see game five. Is it tomorrow night we
get tomorrow. Game five?
Yeah,
tomorrow night.
We get game five tomorrow night. LA wins game 1-4-3. Edmonton 4-2 in game two. LA comes back 3-2 in game three in an overtime win. And then game four, Edmonton 5-4 in an overtime win. And this has had it all. In game one, we get to watch the Oilers fans litter the ice. We get the whole complain about the refs, the poor me. And this is the part that I laughed my ass off. Draisaitl calls out his team and says that the team needs to be more mature and more disciplined and not take bad penalties. And then in game three, he slashes Doughty after the whistle that leads to the 2-2 power play goal. After a goal. And it leads to a power play goal for LA that ties the game, and they go on to lose that game. And I'm thinking, how do you walk in the locker room now? You called out your teammates two games ago, and now you're going to walk.
He owned it. He did. He did own it, though. He said, I can't be slashing, guys. He did say that.
I understand that. But if you call out your teammates, whether you own it or not, that is a bad look, right?
Yeah, it's not great.
Another thing that's crazy about this series to me is that Draisaitl has been on the ice for every single goal, which you can look at that as a positive. But you can also look at that as a negative, right?
No. Every Oilers goal.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Every Oilers goal. I'm sorry. Every Oilers goal, he has been on the ice.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And
so
I believe it's 14 of them.
Look at last night's game, okay? 3-0, okay? How do the Oilers get their goals? They need power plays, right? They get a power play. Boom. Right? 2 minutes later, 5-on-5, McDavid has a questionable trip on Doughty, steals the puck away, boom, 3-2, and then they attack again, and Draisaitl ties the game up on another power play goal, right? They get two power plays in that second period, and they, man, it was a tale of two games.
First period,
they lost every battle, every single battle,
3-0.
Skinner is out of the game, played like dog shit. The second goal to Arvidsson, I could have stopped, I think, along the ice 5-hole. It was just awful, right? But
you know what? If Edmonton fans...
I don't know what Woodcroft said. He must have went full Herb Brooks through tables and then the locker room or something. I don't know what he did, But it worked.
I don't think he says shit. I don't think he runs this team.
Listen, whatever was said, whether it's coach or the players, it worked. They came out in that second period completely different team. They won every single battle, every single one. They outworked LA. It was 3-2 going into the second or going into the third. Campbell just saved. Campbell may save their season. Who would have thought that? At the start of the season, if I would have said, hey, Jack Campbell is going to completely lose his net halfway through the year, and then come playoff time, he's going to come in. The Oilers are down 2-1 in this series, down 3-0 in game four. Season's on the line, and the $5 million Campbell is going to come in and save the season.
Do you think he played that much role in that, though? I don't.
He stopped 27 to 28.
Yeah, I know.
He made a huge save on Arvidsson when it was 4-2 or 4-3.
Yeah, I will say that. If Edmonton thinks he's the answer for long term in the playoffs, so hang on to your.
He's starting game five.
I'm sure he will.
You have to go to him game five.
You
right?
have to,
you
right?
Can't go back to Skinner, right?
No. But they didn't. They weren't down 3-0 because of Skinner, though. They were down 3-0 because they weren't winning any battles.
Yeah, two of those goals were bad.
Okay.
They were bad.
Those goals have
to be stopped.
He doesn't get that opportunity on him if they win the battle.
Yes. But it's the Arvidsson one is a shot from the top of the circle five-hole, dude.
I understand, and I agree with you. But that's the problem with Edmonton. Edmonton thinks that they're supposed to have a goaltender that saves their defensive errors. Darnell Nurse is chasing all over the ice to try to make hits left and right and getting burned, and nobody says anything.
Yeah.
Skinner's supposed to bail out Nurse on every bad play. Like, they need to play defense.
Nurse had a tough game, and Desharnais didn't play the whole third and all of overtime.
Yeah.
His ass was stapled. As soon as he got walked to
Kulak's on the ice more than anybody.
Hey, Kulak's probably might be their best D-man.
He is probably their best D-man.
And just like Bouchard's bomb from the point just opens up that whole power play because you got to respect the shot the point. Then it opens up the Draisaitl slot shot. It opens up a lot of options for them.
Bouchard does everything that Tyson Berry is only better.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I think
and he's young and he's younger.
Here's the deal.
He leads all D in points.
The only thing that drove me nuts in this series so far, other than I can't stand watching Woodcroft. The guy is a goofball.
Him and Keith must be related.
They must
all
be.
All they do is bitch for the refs.
Oh, it's
every just, fucking whistle.
It is constant, and it is constant. And the way he walks off after the period breaks, if they're losing, he pouts off the bench. And if he wins,
he stands there
and stares at the ref. Talks to the ref. Stares at the ref. Just gives him the death stare. You know?
Yeah.
But here's what I really thought was bad. So he goes into his presser, right? And he says, well, the best player in the NHL... in the world, said that it hit the stick. So I'm sorry. I didn't know that just because you're the best player in the NHL that you have better eyesight than the officials. I didn't know that was a prerequisite to be the best player in the NHL. And I also didn't know that the best player in the NHL is going to be completely non-biased, too.
It did look like it changed direction, though.
I don't care if it did. Okay, how about you stay out of the penalty box, and how about you make the save? Don't put yourself in that position.
But you know what?
I got a question for you. After that, let's say he did hit the stick. Because I've watched it 100 times, and sometimes I think it did, and sometimes I think it didn't, and I can't tell.
Yeah.
But after it hit there, the puck hit Ekholm's shoulder, right?
Yeah, that's not changed possession, though. It's got to touch your stick.
Are you sure it says that in the rule book? That it has a touch your stick.
Well, it's got to.
What if it hits the glass? I mean, what if it hits the? It hits the player. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know is that the argument was really weak, and then when he pulls out, well, the best player in the world says, "Oh my god." How about you focus on getting your teeth fixed, Woodcroft? That's what I think needs to happen. All right, Minnesota-Dallas. This series has been really good, I think. 2-2. The series is tied. Minnesota wins game one, 3-1. or 3-2, excuse me. Dallas wins game 2, 7-3. Minnesota wins game 3, 5-1. And Dallas wins game 4, 3-2. Some good hockey games in this series. And they're back at it again tomorrow night with game 5 in Dallas. It started out with a bang. This series started out with a bang, and that bang was Dumba hitting Pavelski. It's a five-minute major. Gets rescinded. It's a two-minute roughing call, which is the right call.
Two-minute interference.
Nope, you got a two-minute roughing call for when he was with Domi. He didn't get a penalty on the play. It was not an interference. It was a roughing call for when Domi grabbed him.
Okay.
Pavelski's injured, still out. Probably, I don't think he'll return.
He's got a concussion. He was wonky when he got up. Yeah,
and he's had a history of him, and I feel bad for him. But that was not an illegal check.
No.
It was not an illegal check.
No.
Game 2, this was the shocker for me. Minnesota goes with Marc-Andre Fleury.
Listen, and we've been praising Dean Evason on this podcast and talking about how good this team's been. It's just a bad decision. He literally had the most saves in Wild history in game 1. He had 55.
I know.
Why are we going to Marc-Andre Fleury in game 2?
He said the old baseball analogy, pitch count, got to get him out. Which baseball team? What major league?
You had a day off.
What baseball team did that? Pulled their pitcher. Was it the Cardinals?
I don't know.
In the World Series, don't you remember?
Oh, it was Tampa.
It was Tampa, yeah.
Blake Snell, 68 pitches, cruising. And they pull him, and then it just blows up in his face.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Silliness. Well, this one blew up in their face, too.
They did bounce. Just won. Toronto just won. Insane, man. His team might do it. His team might do it. Well, oh,
I
man.
Picked them to win. You didn't. So. Right?
It's not over till you get to 4, though.
No, I know. And the Leafs. This is just setting up that complete devastation for Leafs Nation. Right? Is it not?
Oh, man. Could you imagine if they go up 3-1 and lose the next 3 in a row? Oh, my God. It would be all time.
The sun would not come up in Toronto.
But this win, let's just go back to this. This win... They weren't winning these games. They weren't winning these games.
No, I agree.
4-1. 4-1, they would have rolled over and went on to game 5.
Blake, you're telling the guy that picked them to win in 6.
The old whipping boy all year for Leafs Nation. Kerfoot gets the winner.
I picked him to win in 5. I'm right on pace. Right on pace, my man. Let's talk odds here a little bit before we go around the league. Right now, as it stands, let's go through the East quick. 92% chance that Carolina wins. This is according to The Athletic. I would agree with that. A 73, this was right before the game tonight, so this will change. 73% for the Devils. That'll get updated. 77% chance for the Leafs and a 95% chance for the Boston Bruins. 86% chance for the Colorado Avalanche, 74% chance for the Vegas Golden Knights, 55% chance for the Stars, and a 64% chance for the Edmonton Oilers. And I think we're going to have a couple game sevens in this. I really do. Do you agree?
Yep. We are. We are.
I think the Minnesota-Dallas one for sure.
Tampa Bay game 7.
that could happen.
Oh, man.
Would you be shocked if that happened?
I just think Tampa's out of gas, dude.
I do. That's why I said. That's why I didn't pick them. I picked them to lose in 5. It's a lot of hockey.
You're up 4-1. That's got it. You got to win that game.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You got to win that one.
You have to win that game, right? And you go back 2-2. Man, I got to go to work today and deal with the most delusional Leaf fan of all time.
Wow.
And he's just going to be barking at me. I'm like, I told him Tampa's going to win today. Then this bullshit hurts. Fuck's sakes.
All right, time to go around the league. We're getting close to the draft lottery, Blake, and we're going to do this on the next week's show. The number one odds of getting the first round pick is Anaheim with 18.5. Now, have you seen the draft simulator yet?
Oh, I hit it once. I got Vancouver, and I didn't hit it again.
So we're going to hit it. We're going to do it on this week's show, and we're going to do it on next week's show. Okay, I'm going to hit it right now.
I'll pull it up here.
I'm going to hit it right now, and we'll see what it is. It's 13 days away from the NHL draft lottery, and according to the Anaheim gets the number one. Chicago moves up to number two.
I'm Pittsburgh doing it right now.
Goes up 10 spots to number four.
I'm doing it one time. Chicago wins the lottery. Right. Gary Bettman's worst nightmare.
Worst or best nightmare? I don't know.
Worst nightmare.
Brad Treliven chooses to not come back to Calgary, so Calgary is on the lookout for a general manager as Don Maloney is promoted to president of hockey operations. Was this a surprise to you?
No, it wasn't a surprise to me. He had no contract.
Well, that's what I said. He just chose not to. He had a contract. They offered him a contract.
He had his contract is up at the end of the year. I mean, it was a disaster year for a team that had cup aspirations at the start of the year, right? It's not surprising that they split ways. I mean, he's been there, what, 10 years?
9 years.
2013?
Nine right? years.
But
overall, I think he did a really good job. I really did think he did a good job. And it's going to be interesting to see what direction they go.
Right didn't get now. Past the second round, though.
How many teams in the NHL did?
No, I know. Yeah.
You got to look at it that way. I mean, everybody thinks that your team's going to win every year. Well, there's 30 other teams that want to win, too. 31, right? I saw an interesting stat. The Coyotes' regular season attendance numbers compared to other teams. The Coyotes reported that 184,000 fans went to their home games. 843,000 went to Montreal Canadiens games. 800,000 went to Hurricanes games. 771,000 went to Red Wings games. And 768,000 went to Leafs. Oof.
Eesh. That's tough. That's tough.
Oh, man. That is a bad, bad look for the league. And it is time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
It is my turn this week to fire three questions at Blake. Question number one. How important do you think home ice advantage is in the playoffs?
Well, being that this year road team has won 60% of the games.
Yeah, before tonight's games. Now, not counting tonight's.
It's not very important this year so far, but
17 and 11 is the stats this year. Up until tonight, it was 17.
Including the Toronto game. Yeah. So that's a lot. That's a lot of wins.
That was not including the Toronto game. So it's 18 and 11 right now.
18-11. I think it matters like in elimination games, right? So, you want to have your home crowd behind you in game five, game six, game seven.
So let's look at this. In game seven, I pulled up some stats.
Okay.
And 41.3% of the games in round one, game sevens were won by the visiting team. Round two, 47.5% of the game was won by the road team. Surprisingly, in the conference finals, 65% of the game sevens are won by the road team.
Well, that's like the adrenaline. Like you win, you go to the cup.
And the Stanley Cup finals, only 30% of game sevens are won by the
don't remind me, man. Stop.
I'm just throwing out the stats. Just
throwing jabs at me again. Like this is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Question number two. The NHL has had 1,100 point players this year. That's the most in a single season for 27 years back when they had 12 of them in 95, 96. When was the last time a player had a 100-point regular season and went on to win a Stanley Cup?
When was the last time?
Yep.
Oh, fuck.
Can I have like a year?
Well, that'll give it away, but yeah, I will.
Okay. Well, can I get it? Can they I went get to win era? On?
Yeah. It's in your lifetime era.
Is it in the last 10 years?
No, 14 years ago. Let's put it this way.
Oh, so 2009?
14 years ago. I don't know the math. 2008, 2009. Yep.
Okay, so
two players did it. Two players did it that year.
So that was Detroit and Pittsburgh. So it would have been Crosby, Malkin.
Yep. It's a long time.
Yeah. Well, who could do it this year? It's still playing.
McDavid.
Oh yeah, McDavid, Draisaitl.
There's a lot of them over 100 points this year. There's a lot.
Yeah. Elias Pettersson, 100 points.
So, question number three. Does a strong regular season power play translate to postseason success?
It has for Edmonton.
It has. I agree.
It has for Edmonton. It's fucking keeping them in the series.
It's the only thing keeping them alive.
Yep. So I think it does. I mean, the percentages don't matter, but the momentum definitely can carry over.
Yeah. The Avalanche last year had a killer power play, and they carried on that into the playoffs and won the Stanley
Cup. I honestly think, though, like, I'd rather have in the playoffs, a good penalty killing power play. You know what I mean? If you can't kill penalties, you ain't winning shit.
You're right. But usually,
especially in the playoffs,
the difference there, though, Blake, that makes that a difficult comment is that most of the time, a good goalie can make your penalty kill look really good too.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. But like,
I agree.
If you're killing off 90% of your penalties,
so let me ask you this: we're watching the Edmonton Oilers absolutely dominate in the power play, right?
Yeah.
And you know, there's going to be penalties in every game. So you're going to get power play opportunities. Does that living and dying on that, though, run its course in the later rounds?
No, I don't know. That's hard to say.
I know it's hard to say. I mean, there's no way of knowing that. I'm just thinking to myself as I'm talking.
Like you can only go, what's the old saying? You can only go to the well so many times.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at. I mean, it just...
You get like eventually Edmonton, if they're going to win the series, they got to score 5-on-5.
Yeah,
have to.
They've got to. And somebody they other than McDavid, they did
score 3 5-on-5 yesterday, but still.
But somebody other than Bouchard, McDavid, Kane, and Draisaitl. I mean, you need to get. I mean, Warren Fogle's had 100 million chances.
You got Hyman in there scoring the winner. Well,
they got Hyman in there, I guess, and actually
Hyman, Kane. Draisaitl, and then who had the other one?
I know you're an Oilers fan, though. I can tell you'll be able to fire it off.
I picked them to win to go to the cup, so I don't want to look like a dumbass. That's why
I picked them to go to the cup too.
That's why I'm cheering for the Oilers.
I'm not cheering.
I don't want to look like a dummy.
Well, we already look like a dummy after the regular season. We had the Bruins. You had the Bruins and dummy in the playoffs. So
did you.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't think we can recover from that.
Not single me out. We weren't the only one. Hey, Paul Bissonnette had him out of the playoffs too, so we're in good hands.
The beacon of hockey intelligence. Listener question, got a good one here for you. Who will bounce back and make the playoffs next season that missed the playoffs this season?
Oh, that's a bait question. He's trying to bait me.
No, I'll name the teams off, and you tell me if they get in next year. All right, because I looked at these teams.
Don't name Vancouver. I'll have your answer after the offseason.
There's 16. Oh, we're doing it today. There's 16 teams, and I only have two of them getting in next year.
Okay.
Washington, do you think they get in?
No.
No, I don't either. Buffalo, do you think they get in?
Nah, maybe.
I didn't.
They're on the bubble.
They're on the bubble, but do you think they get in?
No, probably not.
I got no too. Ottawa.
No.
I got Ottawa getting in.
The brain cat's gone. He's getting traded.
I got Ottawa in. Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think they'll get in.
I don't. Calgary.
They better get in. Oh, shit is going to roll.
What more can roll, Blake? What are you going to do? You sound like one of the goofy ass fans on Facebook. What are you going to do? You have contracts signed. What are you going to do?
They're going to have to make some more trades or something.
They're getting in anyways. Nashville.
No.
I got no. Detroit.
No.
No. Arizona.
Next question. No.
Montreal.
No.
No. Columbus.
No.
No. St. Louis.
No.
No. Philly.
No.
No. Vancouver.
Pass.
No, answer it.
Probably not.
No. San Jose.
No.
No. Anaheim.
I don't know. If they get Bedard, they could sneak in.
I still got no. Chicago.
Oh, no.
Chicago.
I might say yes for that one if they get old Bedard.
Chicago.
No.
Yeah. I don't know. We're going to look stupid when it comes to that, though, because things change so much every single season. It's crazy how much things change in the league. And, yeah, round one, midway through. Next week, we're back. May 1st, we're back. Monday night, yep, 9 o'clock live. We'll put a wrap on round one, as it should be about done by then. And we'll jump into some of the round two matchups, because I think we will know some by then. It's been good so far, hasn't it, Blake?
Yeah, it's been really good. I've enjoyed the first round a lot, probably more than in previous years.
I would agree.
A lot of entertaining series, and hopefully we get a couple game sevens. That would be good. Preferably in Toronto.
Toronto!
We need one at seven there.
Oh, I think we will get some. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back again Monday night. Same place, same great time. Hockey talk every week. The Debate Hockey Podcast.
Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.